So this past week, I'm watching my little grandbaby. You know, he's 10 months old, and he's a lot of work. He's a lot of adorable work, but it's work. So I'm he'd spent the night with us. I get him, you know, the next morning, I'm fixing him. And I hadn't even brushed my teeth or fixed my hair or nothing. I finally get him fed and get him taken care of, and he has been back down for his morning nap. And I'm thinking, because I was going to head to the bathroom, you know, and get my hair fixed and take a shower and all that stuff. Well, the doorbell rings. So I go running to the doorbell because I didn't want them to ring it again. They're going to wake the baby up. I just got him asleep, you know. I got to brush my teeth. I open the sling the door open, you know, in a hurry. And I know she had to have seen my body language. My body language goes, because Jehovah Witnesses out there, you know. Here the Jehovah Witnesses are at my house bright and early. Yeah, the Jehovah Witnesses are there. I'm thinking to myself, oh, Lord, I'm tired, you know, because I'm thinking, well, you know, maybe I could just go ahead and get rid of them, you know, just tell them, I just don't want to hear it. Here, just leave your pamphlet and bye, you know. But then I got to thinking, you know, oh, now God has equipped you to help these people. You've got some answers. And I thought, okay, Lord, all right, all right. Because I knew you start talking to Jehovah Witnesses, I already knew. I mean, that's like trying to separate a she-bear from her cubs. You got to, it's going to be difficult, you know, because they are really locked in to what they believe. Man, you, and here I am standing there with my hair all over the place, you know, got, you know, I don't look the part at all. I do not look like Mother Teresa standing there, okay? So she's going to have it difficult just from judging the book cover for me to minister to her, you know what I mean? But there I am, and hey, this God has orchestrated it as far as I'm concerned. You on my doorstep, and I didn't ask for you to be there, but you just come, you come to the right place. Was my attitude. Despite the fact that I don't look very much like Jesus, you've come to the right place because he lives in me and we're going to be all right. So we get started because she's going to start telling me how, you know, we're going to get into that discussion. See, the Jehovah Witnesses believe that Jesus is a God. They don't believe that he is a deity particularly. They don't believe in the deity of Jesus. And they don't believe in the Trinity. The Trinity, and they'll give you all these verses and go on and on and on about how, you know, they don't believe in the Trinity. So one of the things that they do that you guys may not be aware of is that they got these classes of people within the Jehovah Witnesses. They've got some strange beliefs, folks. See, because what they have is they have their own version of the Greek of the Bible. They took the Greek. They took the Greek Bible, and they call their version the New World Translation. But there's not a Greek scholar out there, not even a secular Greek scholar, that will agree with their translation of it because it's not scholarly. It's not an accurate translation of the actual Greek. So when I'm explaining to this, they come in twos usually, they come in pairs. And you know, your house is on a list. They got a little territory because they got to earn their way to heaven. They get saved by grace, and now they got to earn their way to heaven. So they're there at my house because by gosh, she's got to rack up her brownie points so Jehovah let her into eternity at some point. You know, so I'm not really loved. I'm just, you know, one on a list, you know, racking up. She's got to get her brownie. And I understand that. I'm cool with that. All right. So she's standing there and we're going to get into these things, you know, because she's going to earn her salvation by works. And so I told her, you know, you can't start out with grace and then end up, you're going to complete your salvation with your works. And so she wants to say, no, we don't do that. We're just not going to obey the Mosaic law. But we're going to obey the law of the Gospels according to how their Watchtower Society interprets the Scriptures for them. So she wanted to tell me, well, we look at all these other versions of the Bible. What about that? You know, so no, we are real open to other versions of the Bible. Yes, they allow you to look at other versions of the Bible, but you only get the Watchtower Society's interpretation of that. And they believe that the Watchtower Society is a member of those 144,000. They're the first class of people that are earning salvation. And the rest of us folks, the rest of the Jehovah Witnesses, that is, they're the second class. And we heathen out here, we non-Jehovah Witnesses, well, we're really screwed if we don't listen to them and join their club. You know, that's the gist of it, really. That's exactly where she's coming from. And she's there because she's got to earn some brownie points because that's part of what they believe in order to earn salvation. Okay, and then the thing about Jesus, they believe that he's basically three different persons, but not like three in the Trinity. They believe that he started out as the Archangel Michael. That's how he's the Word. Then they believe that he became the man Jesus of Nazareth. But then they believe that he was not resurrected, that he was simply recreated as a new superior Archangel Michael. Now, you got some strange stuff, okay? Now, I only want to focus on two things that she said in order for us to be rock solid in who we are, and that is the Trinity and also the deity of Christ. First of all, the Trinity, and we've talked about this many times in this church, see, and this is what I'm telling this lady. I said, she wanted to start all that whole thing of how Jesus wasn't God. I said, no, he was a separate person from God. I said, that I agree with. You have God the Father, he's one person, and then you have Jesus the Son, he's person number two, and you have the person of the Holy Spirit, he's person number three. These three people, they are part of one being. They're only one being. That's the Trinity. It doesn't say the word Trinity. I don't care that the Bible doesn't say the word Trinity. And the reason I think this subject needs to be discussed in church, because it's not just the Jehovah Witnesses that are struggling with this Trinity idea. See, as other Christian denominations, they're saying, oh, well, we don't teach the Trinity at our church. Listen, you are baptized in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. That's what it says. The Father is one being comprised of three persons. And one way you could look at it is Fred. Fred's one human being, and inside his being is Fred, the person of Fred. But when Fred got saved, the person of the Holy Spirit came to live inside Fred's being with him. So now, Fred is two beings, he's two persons with inside that one human being. There's two persons inside that one human being. He's one being still, but he's comprised now of two persons. You're never alone. That's good news. You're never alone. When the Holy Spirit is with you, he says he'll never leave you. You're always going to be comprised in this lifetime of two persons, that's for sure. And at some point, we're all in the future going to be as Jesus is. As he is, so shall we be. Now, Robert's teaching on this message this morning. He didn't know I was going to be teaching on this subject tonight. But it ties right in with salvation. Look, salvation is not by works. See, it's the free gift of God, and that's what we're going to see. Okay, so here's the pitiful thing, though, about the Jehovah Witnesses. See, the salvation for the individual Jehovah Witness begins with his entrance into the Watchtower organization. So you got to, and listen, these people are all over the world, so they are highly effective. And once they get them indoctrinated, it's really, really difficult to get them out of that cage that they put themselves into. Okay, so only those, first of all, they begin their entrance into the Watchtower organization, and their subsequent obedience to that organization is what helps them to remain in good standing so that at least they can be saved. You see, it doesn't make sense, you know? And so then you have to get ready to reason with them, right? Now you got to reason with them. And they're already closed-minded. She's not listening to me, but I'm going to get my spiel in because she's in my neighborhood affecting my neighbors with this doctrine that actually imprisons you. Jesus, we all know that Jesus saves us by grace. We're saved by grace because of what he did. And because of him shedding his blood on that cross, we are able, all of us are going to be able to appear before our Heavenly Father, clothed in his righteousness and not in any of our own. Okay, so we're going to deal with these these Jehovah Witnesses. See, they're stressing this work salvation. But let's look at Ephesians chapter, well, don't turn to all these scriptures because we have so many. We have so many, and I'll start letting you know when we're going to turn there because I want to point out some things to you. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast." Now, see, that is the good news. If somebody comes preaching to you another Jesus other than the ones the apostles taught, that's the wrong Jesus. You understand, right? So this is what the apostles said. Ephesians 1:7. "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace." Here's this one for you, Robert. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. "He forgave us all our sins." Robert, in the Greek, what does all mean?
All.
All. The whole lot. The whole lot. See, when I was a baby Christian, I used to think, oh man, I hope that wasn't just my sins, my past sins. Did y'all ever ask that question? I hope it wasn't just my past sins, Lord, and that was all I got forgiven for, because I'm going to be in a world of trouble if that's the case. Because I hate to acknowledge this, but I have to tell you, I was such a naive kid, I didn't really do that much sinning compared to how I sinned after I got the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's a terrible thing to have to admit, but I was just such a guileless, naive kid, I really didn't do that much wrong, you know. But then, so I was greatly troubled by that. Oh my gosh, you know, I've got the Holy Spirit. I knew I had the Holy Spirit. How can I actually, I've done this sin, God, I've done this wrong thing. Do you still love me? Because I had this mentality, you have to be perfect, perfect, perfect. You know, I don't know about you, but that ain't possible. See, I mean, I had as much zeal as the next guy. I was trying to be perfect for all I was worth. It's just, I just can't. I can't do it. I gave it a good try. I did. I tried. And I failed epically, as my grandson would say, epic failure. Epic. So see, I see something about God. I see how much he loved us. He forgave all our sins. In 1 John it says, well, if anybody does sin, you have an advocate with the Father. You have a redeemer. He forgave all your sins, all the ones that you might commit next year, this year. All means all in the Greek. God forgave all your sin. When he looks at you, he doesn't see you in the way you see yourself. He doesn't see you as lacking or incomplete or sinful. He doesn't condemn you. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Now, that you know there's not a one of us in here that has Christ fully formed in us. If you've got Christ fully formed in you, raise your hand, because I need to see you, okay? You got Christ fully formed in you? You got Christ in you, but is he fully formed in, or is the image of him fully formed in you? Not in a single one of us. See what I mean? We're all still a work in progress. I'm pretty sure that if you had Christ fully formed in you, you'd already go poof. You just poof. God wouldn't be able to contain himself, you know? There's nobody in here with Christ fully formed in them. Some of us might be closer than others. Maybe your race is easier. I don't know. The way I look at it, it's like we're all thrown out in an ocean, and you're trying to get to shore. Trying to get to shore where your Heavenly Father is, right? So some of us are closer to the shore than others, but you're still in the ocean, and it's filled with sharks and jellyfish and all that other stuff. You know? That's too long to debate. Okay, because there's scripture that says Elijah was around. But see, it's just too long to debate. We're going down a rabbit alley, you see. But we'll go over that after we finish up tonight, okay? Because I will answer that question. Just it's going to take 20 minutes, okay? But you're going to stay 20 minutes after class. Uh-oh. Okay. Okay. Oh, I know we don't have that recorded. Fred asked, what about Enoch and Elijah? Well, we'll get into that after class. Because right now, our topic tonight, we want to talk about the deity of Christ, and we want to talk about the Trinity. We want to be able to effectively witness to those who are witnessing to us, you know? And see, I wasn't effective. Because I'm trial lawyer, or was, I'm trying to get out of it. But I'm so aggressive, I'm letting her have it. And you watch Tower goes, and I'm just listening it off, and she's sitting there. And then the other lady down, you know Greek? Yeah, I know Greek, you know? And Hebrew, you know? So I'm just firing it out, you know? They finally left my house. The end of that story is they left my house. All of a sudden, somebody was sick and had a doctor's appointment. They had to go. They didn't even leave their material at my house. They just had to leave. That one lady, she gave me a look like, you need something cast out of you. You know? I think you got the devil. You know, I think your doctrine is from the devil. But when they left, the lady that I had really, you know, she was trying for all she was worth to earn her brownie points. She didn't have 1 ounce of love for me. But I said to her, you know, I'm not for your Watchtower Society. I'm not for your doctrine, how you see it. But I am for you. So I want you to know that when you leave. I am for you. And I reached out to hug her. And she didn't hug me back, but she endured my hug because she was witnessing. You know, so she endured my hug. But I hugged her, and she left. And then the other lady that was with her just kept looking at me like I needed, you know, to be delivered from Satan. But what troubled me about it afterwards, I'm asking God, why wasn't I effective? Thank God. Melzer says, well, maybe you sowed a seed, You know, you sowed a seed for her. Because I told her, you need to go check things out for yourself. I don't care who tells it to you. If Fred tells it to you, or if I tell it to you, or Brother Don, or Trey, or R.C. Sproul, or Ravi Zacharias, or all my favorites, you know, or Andrew Womack, or who else? I don't care. Yes, David Jeremiah is my husband's favorite. I don't care who is teaching it to you. You go look at it for yourself, because the Holy Spirit lives in you and He will guide you and teach you and lead you into all truth. It is the truth you need to know, but you have to know it for yourself. You can't rely on my confidence or understanding of it. You've got to rely on what He shows. He'll show it to you. My job is simply to stimulate you and get you to go looking. Yeah, I agree with that. That's what it says. You know? I don't want you to ever take my word for it. Ever. I want you to go study it yourself and find out the treasure you have in here. This is a treasure book. You got a treasure book, and it shows you pictures of who your Heavenly Father is. And part of who your Heavenly Father is He's comprised of three different people. He is the Father, He is the Son, and He is the Holy Spirit, and here's why. Okay, but let's get back. Let me get in order here. We got to figure out who gets this $50 tonight, because you guys are going to tell me. Somebody had to have won that race. Has to be somebody in this audience. Okay, if righteousness, Galatians 2:21 said, if righteousness could be gained through the law, then Christ died for nothing. Right? He died for nothing. If you like those, I asked a lady, I said, "What? Have you read Galatians? Have you actually read it? You start out with grace and you end up trying to earn it the rest of the way through your works? Are you kidding me? Have you actually read Galatians?" But by that time they were too mad at me. So she wasn't hearing nothing I had to say. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. And then Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and verse 9. Our full and entire justification occurs in this life at the moment of faith. Right now we have it. We're fully justified right now. That's good news. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? That's why Jesus came. A lot of people don't know that. We were talking about hell not too long ago, a few months ago. What are you saved from? The Bible says you're saved from the wrath of God. That's why Jesus came. So, but Jehovah Witnesses, under the threat of eternal annihilation, they must seek to maintain their own personal righteousness under virtually impossible circumstances. That's really sad, isn't it? Because under their doctrine, no Jehovah Witness anywhere can have any assurance of their salvation. That is sad, isn't it? That does move my heart on their behalf. A Jehovah Witness will say, like Mormons do, that they don't teach salvation on the basis of works of righteousness, because they distinguish between Mosaic works, which cannot save, and New Testament works, which can save. See, they take the gospel, the New Testament, and they turn it into a works by salvation, that you have to work for your salvation. So in other words, what they're doing is they deny salvation by works of the law, but then they assert salvation by works of the gospel. That's not how it works. That's not how it happens. They believe that Christ's death made potential forgiveness available for others by faith and works. They believe in recreation and not resurrection. So, you know, when you talk to them about their Bible, you know, and you tell them, look, if your Bible is not an accurate translation, even secular Greek scholars will say that this is not accurate. And listen, it's not about your theological belief as far as those guys are concerned. There are rules of languages like grammar and translation, and regardless of your personal preference, there are rules. And if you don't follow the rules of the grammar of that particular language, then you can't claim that it's accurate. See, if you translate something and you translate it in order to fit your theology, that is not an accurate translation. So I'm trying to explain this to her. And they're not receiving it. That's about the time the lady says, so do you know Greek? Yeah, that's my point in explaining this to you. Yes, I do. You know? Yes, I know Greek. And you come over to my house and you're challenging me? That's actually rude. But I didn't even say that to her. You know? Didn't point out to her she was being rude, you know. So here's the thing, though. We don't have enough time tonight to cover all this material. So let me say this. This little 40, 50-minute session here is not enough to cover so vast a subject, because I have hundreds of proofs of why their doctrine isn't correct. So, see, they might say this. They'll say, well, Jesus is the Son, and because he's the Son and he talks to the Heavenly Father, he's not the Father, and therefore there is no Trinity. And I respond, well, no. Just because you can prove that Jesus is not the Father, that he's a different person from the Father, well, I'm agreeing with you about that. Jesus is Jesus, and the Father is the Father. But that doesn't prove that Jesus is not a deity. All you've done really is prove by your own words that he's a deity. You see? Because they do this one thing, like in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. In that verse, it clearly refers to the Messiah, whom the Jehovah Witnesses will acknowledge that he's Jesus, right? But it calls him a mighty God. So if I point out to them, look, here's it is in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It calls Jesus a mighty God. You said that Jesus was the Messiah. Yes, I did. Well, here it calls him a mighty God. It calls him mighty God in the Hebrew. And they'll reply, well, it's true that he's a mighty God, but he's not Almighty God Jehovah. So then, okay. So their difference is they're differentiating between Almighty God and mighty God. You see the difference? Just that A-L word there in front of the mighty. If that's the case, if that's what they're thinking then it boils down to this. Then, and this is even in their New World Translation too. Because in Psalm 23:1 it says Jehovah is merely the shepherd. But in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, it says that Jesus is the great shepherd. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, it says that Jesus is the chief shepherd. So, if you're saying that Jesus is not Jehovah, that they're not one and the same, because you could differentiating between mighty and almighty, then your argument falls apart based on these other verses. You see? Because then Jesus, according to you, he would be greater than God. And he's not claiming to be greater than God. It's just simply what it says in Isaiah is that he's mighty God. Okay. But let's look at the verses that tell you that it's salvation by faith alone. And these verses we are going to turn to. Let's turn to Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Is it the case that we have salvation by faith alone? Do we have in any way to work out our own salvation by works? Do we have to complete the process by our works? In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it says, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness. See that? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9 again. I want you to read it for yourself. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. And that was the scripture that Robert was talking about this morning. He did not know I was going to be teaching on the same topic this evening, and I didn't know what he was going to be teaching on. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. Well, if y'all are there, just let me know. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. Is there anybody not there? Okay, there we go. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Let me say this about a gift. Can you earn a gift? If somebody gives you a gift, it's free. Otherwise, by definition, it cannot be a gift. You cannot earn a gift. Okay? Then the 9, not by works, not of works, lest anyone should boast. That's really good news. See, when I see that, and I know how I've tried to be perfect, 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 couldn't be, that really sets me free. That causes joy to rise up in me. Oh, you mean Jesus? Because I told y'all about that experience I had one time. I'm in heaven. I only had this experience one time. I go up these three realms, and I'm finally there, and I'm before God. I'm just going to tell him I loved him. That's all I'm going to do. And see, I only focused on the love aspect of God, see? But when all these other beings up there in that realm, in that place, they were shocked. They were shocked that I had the audacity to speak out in front of such a holy God. And I wanted out of that place. Because see, when I discovered what they were doing, when I noticed what they were doing, then I saw this other aspect of God. I saw the power of, I perceived the power of God. And I just wanted out of there. I was just a baby Christian. I didn't have enough understanding to stay in that place. You got to get Jesus, Jesus. And what was weird, I'm running from Jesus. I only came in there to tell our Father God I loved him. I didn't plan this experience. It just happened. And I'm in there. I'm telling Father God I loved him. But when I call on Jesus to get out of that place, because I couldn't handle it, I was coming unglued. I didn't feel like I could handle it. And as I'm running away from God, the Father, because I can't handle being in his presence to that intense, with that degree, I'm calling on Jesus, and they're the same. It was so weird. I don't know how to explain this. I perceive that as I'm leaving these realms, back down 1, 2, 3, these three realms, I don't know how to explain that to you. There's just no human words. There's a whole supernatural realm out there. I don't know how to explain it. I just know it's there. So I go back down these three realms, and I don't know if my body was with me or not. I really don't know. I couldn't tell. I don't know. But I'm out of the intensity of God's presence to that degree. So what I notice is that God is holy. And I know this. There's no way except that Jesus had shed his blood, that we are covered in Christ Jesus. Will you ever be able to stand in front of a God that holy?
Amen.
In the book of Isaiah, it says that he was coming unglued in the presence of God. He was coming undone, is what it says in your King James translation. You can't see, the only thing that's going to enable you to be reconnected to Father God like that is Jesus, his Son. Amen. And when you see, when I think of Jesus' blood being shed for us, then I can go, now I know this. See, now I understand. I got understanding now. Now I know I can go back to his presence, into his presence, no matter how intense it is, right up to his face, with all those other beings shocked all they want to be. And I can say, I love you. Because I'm covered. I don't see, I'm not dependent on my own righteousness. No way would you dare go into the presence of a holy God in your own righteousness.
Amen.
There's not a person on this planet that can do it. And that's what the Bible says.
That's right.
The law was given so you could get it, so you could understand. You can't do it. It's just simply so you could understand what state the state that you're in. You cannot do it. But God so loved us that he sent his only begotten Son. Let me tell you about begotten. A wolf will beget a wolf. Man begets a child. An eagle begets an eagle. A snake begets a snake. God begat Jesus. That means God begat God. All right? Jesus is God. He's also fully human because God begat God through the womb of through Mary. So Jesus was fully God and he's fully man.
Amen.
And that's the kind of Redeemer that we have.
Hallelujah.
He's not one that can't understand our infirmities. He gets us. He knows how flaky we are, how difficult it is.
Amen.
He gets it. You know? That God so loved us that he gives us that. So see, I'm confident now. Oh, okay. Jesus, your righteousness is imputed to me. And see, it's not just the Jehovah Witnesses. It's people in church nowadays. They're getting ready to die. My dad, he'd been going to church for 20 years, you know, trying to overcome, you know, alcoholism. And he did. God was with him, and he, you know, but he couldn't get that in his mind. He told me as he was dying, he said, I'm a little nervous about appearing in front of the Lord, you know. Dad, you don't have to be. I ain't done much right. Well, so what, Dad?
That's right.
You know, that's right. You ain't done much right. I love you anyway. You know, you did some things right. You know, you had mercy when most people wouldn't. You know? So, but Dad, you're not going to stand in front of God in your own righteousness. You stand in front of God in his Son's righteousness. It's imputed to you. And that would give my dad confidence to die, be okay with it, you know, and not struggle with it so bad. All right, you know, no, Dad, so it's not just Jehovah's Witnesses that believe this. Christians believe this. Somehow that you're going to be ashamed in front of God? That doesn't mean to say, let me say this, and I just put this out on Facebook not too long ago because it seems to me like a lot of people are putting some stuff out there just like, whoa, what? Listen, just because you're under God's grace doesn't give you this leeway to act crazy all the time. Okay, right? Look here what it says. It says, Galatians 2:16, it said, know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, right? Okay, we are to live by his Spirit though, right? So the sinful nature is opposed to his spirit. We still got a sinful nature. But if you are led by his spirit, you're not under the law. And the acts of the sinful nature are sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, selfish ambition, jealousy, fits of rage, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Okay, that's what your sinful nature does. That's what it's like. But the fruit of the Spirit, if you're walking in the Spirit, it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, right? There's not any law against that, right? So if you're walking in the Spirit, you're not under the law, but the fruit of walking in the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness. You see what I'm saying? So Galatians 5:13 tells us not to use our freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Now see, they take that and they turn it into some works thing. No. Galatians 5:24 says that those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Then Galatians 6, chapter 6, verses 7 through 8. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. And if you sow to please the Spirit, from the Spirit you reap eternal life. So I'm not saying go crazy because you're not under the law anymore. Because you still need to walk in the Spirit so that you can not reap destruction on yourself. Why should you destroy yourself with your lack of understanding? What will happen when you see that you're not under the law, His righteousness is imputed to you, right? So you have the freedom to love, see, and to be, you are loved. So you have the freedom to love and to love your own self. Everybody's in that same boat. We're all struggling with the sinful nature. All of us, whether it's pride or whatever it is you struggle with. Some people go, well, I never committed adultery. I am so glad for you because I tell you, you don't want to pay those consequences, Because I have. And you got to pay consequences. It doesn't just magically disappear. Now, I'm still forgiven and I'm cleansed from my sin and I repented of it and asked God to forgive me. But I'm just saying, it doesn't mean that I got away with something, though. You don't get away with hurting other people. You don't. But that isn't how I'm saved. I'm saved and I can stand in front of a holy God because his son has not sinned and he did it all right and it's imputed to me. I'm standing there. When he looks at me, he looks and sees Jesus. So when we are to clothe ourselves in Christ Jesus. So I tell God, I just want to please you. I really do. And I'm really impatient. That's one thing I struggle with a lot. I know I've been singing my patience song because Bruce Van Bibber was teaching us the patience song, Whatever. And you know what? It actually works for me. And I'm going down a little side trip here for just a minute. But the little ditty goes like this. Be patient, be patient. There's no need to hurry. When you are impatient, it only leads to worry. Y'all heard this little song before? Remember, remember, God is patient too. Think of all the many times he's been patient with you. Thank you, dear. Now, I'm extremely impatient. That's not one of my fruits. Some of the other stuff like gentleness and kindness, and I can do some of that pretty regularly. That impatient thing, my mind works really fast. And I want you to lickety split, catch on to something, let's move on to the next 100 things, Because that's just how I am. But it's not right. It's not loving. And I was doing that even with the Jehovah's Witness lady. Because I am giving her, I know I didn't have but so much time. I'm just shoving it in there, buddy. You know what I mean? Yeah. You can't say she wasn't preached to. Now I gotta go preach to the rest of my neighbors now because I'm sure you screwed them up. But I see that God's got to do a work in. I'm telling you, I always hate the little silly third grade stuff we do in church sometimes when we do stuff like that. I know it's third grade, but it actually works for me. I sing that little song to myself, a grown lady, 56 years old. I sing that little song to myself. I am starting to drive without calling people. Not cussing at them, no, but I'm saying, names that are just probably not Christ-like. Where did you get your driver's license, Oh, you must not have one because you sure don't know how to drive. Things like that. And I sing the little song to myself, and it's really starting to work. Whatever you got to do, But you want to manifest the fruits of those of the Holy Spirit, because I do want to honor the Holy Spirit. But I tell you what, I'm surrounded by me, and it's sometimes really hard for me not to come out, you know. But I love the Lord, and I know you do too. And I want us to be equipped. Part of our job here as teachers and preachers is to make sure we're all equipped, because there's a harvest out there, and it's ripe, and there's not enough workers. So that's why when people like Nabil Qureshi, when they go to be with the Lord, he was an apologetist with Ravi Zacharias' group. It grieves me, because he was a Muslim that had found the Lord Jesus, and he loved the Lord more than anything else in his life, gave up his whole family that he adored in order to follow after Jesus. You can't be a Muslim and convert to Christianity and think your family's going to be good with you. They're not. So he loses his whole family for the sake of the Lord. But then he got stomach cancer because, see, even though he was wonderful at explaining things like the Trinity and the Word of God, they didn't have what this church has. And that's that portion of, you also have to understand that God wants you to walk in health. It is the will of God that when you look at the Greek, it says in the majority of the healing scriptures in the Greek, it's always the past tense. You're healed. You're healed. So when you go asking God to give you healing, I'm believing for my healing. How can you believe for something you already got? You know, if you're healed, you've already got it. So what you got to do is receive it. See, what I see is so often, it's like if you look at, God's already poured out all the blessing. It's already been poured out. But what happens, if you think of us all as coffee cups, some of us have our cups turned up where you can receive the blessing, and some of us don't. The cup's turned upside down. So what you got to figure out is, what is my issue that I don't have my cup upright? Well, that gets me off on another sidetrack, but I think it's important here. Because this is what I think it is. Because when I look at myself, God, I need some healing to manifest in my body, God. I don't say, well, God, why won't you heal me? He's already healed me. So I say, what am I doing wrong that I'm not receiving this healing? What is the problem that I'm not, that your healing that you've already given me is not manifesting itself? What's the problem? This reminds me of this story. You remember when you got to just go to God just like you are. Just like you are. Remember that story in the Old Testament where you have Jacob, and his name means supplanter, right? So he goes to God. I mean, he goes to his father, and because he wants the blessing. He's going to get that blessing. He's out for the blessing, right? Me too. I want the blessings too. I want to manifest in my life, right? So here comes Jacob, and he goes to his father Isaac. His father Isaac says to him, "What's your name?" He doesn't say Jacob. He pretends he's somebody else. He says, "I am Esau." He's pretending to be somebody else in order to get the blessing. But he wasn't blessed. But then years and years later, he gets asked that question again. And this time he's wrestling with God. And God says to him, "What's your name?" Now, you know God already knew his name. "What's your name?" And he said, "I am Jacob." And when he found God and he didn't sugarcoat it. I'm the guy that supplants. What he's saying, I am the supplanter. So he comes to God just like he is. I am Jacob. And that's when God said, "Nope, change his name. See, change his name. Nope, you're Israel. You're not Jacob, you're Israel." See, that's what God does for us. You come to him, you want to receive the blessing, just come just like you are. I don't deserve your blessings, God. I can't earn them. I'm just saying that I want it to manifest in my life, in my body, what you've already given me. I'm just trying to figure out how to turn my cup upright and keep it upright so it quits spilling out, right? So you just got to come just as you are, right? That's what God wants you to do. See, because it's going to be his son that imputes his righteousness to you, so you don't have to worry about it. Just tell him the ugly, nasty truth, whatever it is. I started praying, "God, you know, whatever I'm doing that's not like you, please start showing it to me." Well, hundreds of things kept coming up. So, okay, God, maybe we should slow down just a little bit. I could see, you know. See, and that was another one of the mistakes I made with this Jehovah's Witness lady. See, you can have an intelligent conversation with somebody. You can get into some intelligent stuff, and you can be scholarly. You can know that Hebrew. You can know that Greek. You could be able to teach it. You know what? It didn't make 2 cents worth of difference if you're not operating under the anointing. Because what people need, what that lady needed, was not Donna with all her vast knowledge and all her education. She didn't need it because she wasn't receiving any of that anyway. I think that's good stuff, but she wasn't receiving none of it. But the power of the Holy Spirit, see, we need to be equipped with the power
the signs and wonders following the preaching and teaching of God's word.
Amen.
So you reach, you know, when the Holy Spirit ministers somebody, he'd give them a word of knowledge or a prophecy or tell them something only they and God know about, you know, or they receive some miracle. That has impact, you know. The preaching and teaching of God's word comes with power. And it ain't your power. So it's not like you can take any credit for it, you know. She didn't need anything I got. She's smart enough. Just go look for yourself. I hope that I did plant a seed. Well, at least go look for yourself and find out. Don't just take somebody else's word for it. What she needed was the power of God to show up in her life. And there I was. Should be walking in this for many years now, but I'm not. Because, I don't know, I guess I was waiting for it to fuel the power. You know, but the word doesn't say that, does it? It sends you out. Go pray, but see, you got it. We get so conditioned by what other people do. Maybe, well, I ain't seen it operating anywhere else, God. So what? You be the ones. You know, you be the ones. If God sent you out on a commission, He will equip you. We've got to get ready, because this God's harvest really is ripe. And he needs some workers. And we are the ones he's called. Everybody in here, you are anointed. You are equipped, and you are being equipped.
Amen.
Because you're doing it. Your motive for doing it is because you love people. I don't want anybody sitting around in prison, in a jail. This lady didn't know she was imprisoned. She didn't know she was in a cage. And she's going to come stuff me in it too. Nope, I don't want to be in your cage. I've been in your cage. And I got free from that cage, and I don't want to go back in it.
Right.
You know? Amen. So, anyway, but we're talking about how do we show them. Look at this. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17. Because, see, Jesus is Lord of Lords. That's what their Bible says, too. She just doesn't know it. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17. Let's go there. See what that says. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17. Chapter 10, verse 17. Okay, it says, "For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God who does not show partiality nor take a bribe." What do they call God right there? Called him the Lord of lords. That's Jehovah. Their version of Yahweh. Jehovah, right? It says that he's the Lord of lords. But in their same Bible, look at Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. What does it say? Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. If there's Jehovah being called Lord of Lords, well, there can only be one Lord of Lords by definition, right? Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. What does it say? Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. Look at that. "And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." See, you can't understand some of the things in this Bible without understanding that there is a Trinity. You don't have to use that word Trinity. I don't care. But God, our is composed of three persons, see? So and they're the same. Not only is he three persons, they're one being. So if God our Father is the Lord of Lords in the Old Testament and Jesus is the Lord of Lords in the New Testament, then they're the same. They're the same being. So there's only one Lord of Lords. But they'll say, oh, well, Jehovah's Witnesses will say, well, Jesus is the Lord of Lords on earth, but not in heaven. Oh, no, 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 no. Look at Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 there and verses 14. Where is Jesus when John called him Lord of Lords in heaven? He's in heaven. Look at that. Revelation chapter 19, starting there with verse 11. Let's go back and look at it. Let's make sure. Revelation chapter 19, starting with verse 11. Look what it says there. "And I saw heaven opened." Okay. Where's Jesus when John calls him the Lord of Lords here and King of Kings? Jesus is in heaven. So how can it be that Jehovah's Witnesses say he's Lord of Lords only on earth? John called him Lord of Lords when he's in heaven. See? So it doesn't make sense, does it? Okay, let me see what time it is. Oh my goodness, it's already 7:04. Ah. There's so much. Okay, let's just do two more, okay? All right, look at this. When it says that, I want to touch on the deity of the Holy Spirit too, because see, they did it. They said that the Holy Spirit, that he's just an essence. He's not part of the Trinity. Oh, really? That he's not God? Oh, you got to be kidding me. Look at Acts chapter 5, verses 3 through 4. Acts chapter 5, verses 3 through 4. I love the Holy Spirit. I don't want to exist apart from him. Acts chapter 5, verse. I remember who I was before he came into my life. Acts chapter 5, verses 3 through 4. Look what it says there. Look at this. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? And keep back, you know, some of the money. Okay, look what it says there in verse 4. Why have you done this thing in your heart? You've not lied unto men, but unto God. So, Apostle Paul called the Holy Spirit God. You see that? Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 15. Okay, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 15. And the Holy Spirit also testified to us, for after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them, after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws upon their heart. Says the Lord. Here the Holy Spirit's called the Lord. Right? You see that? Look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, you see that verse, though? You see, the Holy Spirit is speaking, and he's calling himself me. He's God, see? He, too, is God. Look at Acts chapter 28, verse 25. Acts chapter 28, verse 25. Acts 28, verse 25. And when they did not agree with one another, they began leaving after Paul had spoken one parting word. He said, look what Paul said. He says, the Holy Spirit rightly spoke through Isaiah the prophet to your father, saying, go to this people and say, you will keep on hearing but will not understand, and you will keep on seeing but will not perceive. And look there at the end of verse 27. And understand with their hearts and return, and I would heal them. The Holy Spirit is referring to himself here. If you look at that in Isaiah where he's saying that, it's Jehovah in Isaiah. But over here in Acts, it's the Holy Spirit. See, the only way you can explain that and come to an understanding is because God is composed. He's one being, but he's comprised of three persons. He's Jesus the Son, he's God the Father, and he's the Holy Spirit. And they're one being. Okay? And then finally, there's so much. I have so much, but it's late, and I just can't keep y'all here. John chapter 5, let's look at John chapter 5, verses 18 through 23. And we're going to close with that, because there's just so much of it. We barely even touched it. There's just so much. But what I want you to understand is you're saved by grace. It's because of your faith. You're saved by grace. It's not by your works. That doesn't mean that you want to walk around in your flesh, though, because you're going to reap what you sow. So don't do that, duh. But if you are doing it, repent and tell God you're sorry and get back on track. Walk in the Spirit, just because you don't want any consequences in this life. But you're saved by grace. And our Father and our Jesus, our Lord, and the Holy Spirit, they're three different people, but they're one being. We serve one God, one being. God is one. Okay, but right now we're looking at John chapter 5, starting with verse 5. Starting with verse 18. John chapter 5, starting with verse 18, and we're going to go through 23. Okay, are we there? Okay, therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Okay, that was which verse? That was 18. Okay. Therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, Truly, truly, I say to you. Let's read this in the King James Version. Verily, verily, because I like that word. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for what things soever he does, these also does the Son likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows himself all things that himself that he does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. Now, if that ain't equal, I don't know what is. See that? So what we had so much. What I want you to walk away with here tonight is you know that you know, and I know that you already knew, you're saved by grace. And you can't thereafter earn it by your works. If you tried to do that, you'd be like one of those foolish Galatians. There's no way that any of us want to stand in the presence of our Heavenly Father who's holy and powerful. We don't want to stand in His presence in any of our own righteousness. It's all His filthy rags. We want to stand there clothed in His Son Jesus. And you know, the other thing I tried to explain to this lady is I have a relationship, but she was laughing at this part. What you don't understand is I am in a relationship with Jesus. See, the reason I can behave is because I have a relationship with Him. And it's ongoing, you know. I keep falling in love with our Savior. And that's what straightens me out. I don't want to disappoint Him, you know. Let's get Miss Jackie to close us in prayer.